Once sec, we talked about different things with children and whatnot. Happy to announce that Nate has taken a new role in Disneyland in Tokyo, and he starts there in February. So instead of going to Europe, we'll probably be going to Tokyo at some stage. So I'm very proud of him to do that. Well, I'm on words today, and I don't have much time left, so I'll keep my words as brief as I can. I read a comment, someone said, oh, I'm struggling with what to get people for Christmas, you know, the people that I love. What will I get them for Christmas? What will I give them? So I decided to give everyone something very special and valuable. Decided to give everyone my opinion. Don't point to them or look at them, but do you know people like that? Don't look at them. I said not to look at them. There are people who are fairly loose with their words and think it doesn't matter what they say, they just get it out there. James, probably more than any other New Testament writer, I believe, talks about the power of our words. So in the series that we're on called Faith Works, it's about putting our faith into practice. The thing is, it's not something just a theoretical thing that we sort of believe up here, but what is it to put our faith into practice? And what does that look like? So let's read what he says in chapter 3 about the power of our words. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault at what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships for an example. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a very small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our God and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So that's the trouble with our words. It can be who we speak to. You know, we talk about triangulation, where I've got a problem with you, so obviously I talk to you about it. It's how we speak. It might be the volume that we speak. It might be what we speak about. That it's gossip, that it's innuendo, that it's breaking a confidence. It can be all these things that James is talking about, where the power of our words can really be destructive. So let's talk about the power of our words. If you have your outline, fill in these as we go through. So James says, firstly, words can determine your direction. Words can determine your direction in life. Where are you headed? Where are you going to be in 12 months or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years? You know, a lot of that, James says, depends on the things that you say. I know people are always getting new jobs because they're always mouthing off in the wrong way, and you know that the direction of their life will be to get another job because they're going to cheese off the boss one time too many. And the things that we say really determine the direction of our lives. It's only small. You know, we had the Melbourne Cup this week. And you see the skill of the jockeys to be able to steer a horse basically by the bit, you know, just a little bit of metal placed over the tongue of the animal, but that steers the whole thing. And the one that won, you know, had a good outside run, but he was able to steer the thing into the right position just with this really tiny thing. He says ships. You know, you ever seen these ocean liners? I know there's a few people love to go on cruises. This is one of the biggest ships in the world. 6,680 passengers, 2,200 crew, 18 decks high, 360 metres long, 72 metres above the waterline. And yet a relatively small, compared to the size of the ship, a relatively much more than Paul, than James was talking about here of the ships in that era, but a relatively small rudder can steer the direction of the whole thing. And James is saying the things that we say, our words, we think is so small, we throw it out there. You know, in contract law that Brittany used to do, and you know, it's, you know, the verbal contract's not worth the paper it was written on. And in legal sense, that's right. But our words, James says, just be careful because they will sort out the direction that your life goes. And it won't be a good one if you're not careful. So words can determine your direction. Number two, words can also destroy your reputation. Destroy your reputation. And he gives another illustration of a fire. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Gavin had to rush out of here with the big Matapilli fire. And there's a fire out there, and Gavin does that on the side as well as being an elder and all the other stuff that he does. Puts out these sort of fires. I think you're on the news, were you? All behind the gear and everything. But now, some of these fires are accidental. Guy's on his back patio doing a bit of angle grinding. Spark goes. 5 minutes later, he turns around. That's what happens. And sometimes our words, we're just careless with them. We don't mean to be like that. It's just we've said the way we've said something, what we've said has just, it's a spark and it's on fire. And we look around and suddenly there's all this destruction around our lives because we haven't been careful with our words. Sometimes it's not accidental, it's deliberate. You ever known people like that, the verbal arsonists? Some people go around and the fires come as a result of doing that deliberately. And some people verbally do that as well. They just throw out stuff, you know, it's to be funny, to be mean, to prove a point, to just have an opposite view to what everyone says. But they're deliberately going around like they're fighting fires and destroying their own reputation because of the things that they say. And you might have heard this one, where you think before you speak. Have you seen this one? Think before you speak. You ask yourselves these questions. Is it true? I mean, that's a very basic one, but sometimes the juicier the gossip, more likely it is to be false. But to ask, is this true? Is this my opinion? Or, you know, do I know this? H, is it helpful? Do these words actually bring about a solution to a problem, or do they put someone in it more? I, is it inspiring? You know, will it actually build someone up? So sometimes it's not even just the things that we say, but the lack of things that we say. The things that we should have said that we don't say. And sometimes if we think of things that is inspiring, that is a compliment, we could say that. Is it inspiring? We could do that. N, is it necessary? Sometimes people say things and I go, did you really need to say that? Really? Was that absolutely necessary? Maybe you should have kept that one to yourself. K, is it kind? Are your words based on a desire to help? And James has a whole lot of other illustrations about the animals that can be tamed. And even in those days, they would try to tame the wild animals. But he says, if you know, good luck if you can tame the tongue. Or it's a world full of deadly poison. It's literally snake venom. And sometimes people's words can assassinate someone and really bring them down and really be cruel. So words can set your direction in life, can destroy your reputation, but also words can display your character. Words can display your character. I saw another quote this week that I love. Someone said, if you don't know what someone is really like, maybe you've just met them, you know, what are they really like? If you want to know what someone's like, just wait. Eventually they'll tell you. You know, just wait long enough for them to speak long enough. Let them to talk about what they talk about. Is it all about themselves? Is it whatever it is? Just wait long enough and someone will tell you. They'll display their own character by their words. And they reveal what's inside. And it's this frustration that James often, or that he displays here, that inconsistency. We're here in church on a Sunday and we praise God and then we go and rag out on someone. He says, how can you do that? How can you praise God at one time and then curse someone on the way home? It's this contradiction, it's this Jekyll and Hyde stuff. How can we be loving and our words saying one thing one time and one thing another? How is that possible? And sometimes people say they might come out with a word or they might come out with something and they go, well, where did that come from? And James would say, you're kidding yourself. You know where that came from. You might be able to put that forward at a certain time, but eventually what is in you will come out. And that's what Jesus said. Different translation, this one in the New Living, it says, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Another version says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you run into someone at a cafe and they're drinking coffee, they've got a cup of coffee, that's going to spill out if you accidentally bump them. It's whatever's in your heart that will come out when bumped. So really the mouth issue is not just a mouth issue, it's a heart issue. Because we only speak what's inside there. That's what Jesus said. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in your heart determines what you're going to say. So our words not only direct where we go, they not only destroy what we have, they display what I am. They reveal my character. And if you've got a problem with your words, if you're not saying the right words, if you're saying the wrong words the wrong way to people, it's not just a mouth problem, it's a heart problem. It's not just a words thing, it's what is deep down within us, and that's what James is trying to address. A person with a harsh tongue has an angry heart. A person with a negative tongue has a fearful heart. A person with an overactive tongue has an unsettled heart. A person with a boasting tongue has an insecure heart. A person who is critical all the time has a bitter heart. Yet on the other hand, a person who's always encouraging has a happy heart. A person who speaks gently has a loving heart. A person who speaks truthfully has an honest heart. And really we can try to filter what we say, we can use that filter and talk about think before you speak. But really it's a heart issue, it's a faith issue. Is our faith in Jesus genuine? Is God just really doing a work in us to change the core of who we are so that when we're bumped, what comes out of us is genuine and from the heart? As well as looking at our words, we have to look at where our heart is. And maybe, and as I wrap up with this, what someone said is right, that the best test of whether our faith is true, that our spirit is mature, it's not that we speak in an unknown tongue, but we're able to control the one that we've already got. Let's pray. Father, thanks for that practical challenge of James to look at the importance of where our heart is. And Lord, we know, as many of us, that our words have got us into trouble. Our words have We've said the wrong thing, the wrong way, the wrong time to the wrong person. So Lord, as the scriptures say, put a filter on our mouth so that we say the right thing. But Lord, do that work in our heart so that what comes out is genuine and pure. It's not inconsistent with who we are. We're not just looking good, looking better than we actually are, but Lord, that you would do the work on our heart, that our faith would be real, that it would work, and our faith would speak out of the overflow of our heart that is good things, that is encouraging things, that are things that are necessary to say, that are kind and inspiring and true. So Lord, work in our heart. We thank you that you are faithful to us. We thank you that you are a faithful God and you want the best for us. And may we learn in our character, Lord, from who you are in yours. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Daryl. It's been wonderful just